has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing.
Welcome to St. James Westminster. We are so glad to have you join us. My name is Hannah Scorer, and I am the assistant curate here at St. James Westminster, and I will be leading the service of the word portion of this audio service. Our music this morning will be led by Paul Grambo with Katie Clark and Stephen Hollowitz, our music director. And as ever, we have John Gardy, our wonderful sound engineer. If you have not checked out our Sunday school videos yet, you should definitely look at those. There's a wealth of them on our Facebook and our YouTube channel. You can also access them on our website, which you should also check out. And I would invite you now just to take a deep breath, close your eyes, calm your hearts, and prepare yourselves for worship. Almighty God, you sent your Holy Spirit to be the life and light of your church. Open our hearts to the riches of your grace, that we may bring forth the fruit of the Spirit in love, joy, and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A reading from the book of Ephesians. Putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, for which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They were saying, "This is not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Gospel of Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I don't know about you, but when I first read this gospel reading, I had to double check that I was looking at the right one because I was pretty sure I wasn't. I thought, I'm sure we did this last week. The bread of life, the manna in the wilderness. I remember those exact words from last week's gospel. So I checked and I double checked. And sure enough, this was it for this week. It's not the same verses repeated. It is totally a different section of the gospel. And because we had the same theme as last week, if I were so inclined, this would be a very easy sermon. I could just say, listen to last week's, it's already recorded, think about that, and let's move on. But I doubt John or Jesus would repeat themselves for absolutely no reason. I mean, say what you want about the structure of the writing in the Bible. It's different from our way of using narrative and rhetoric, sure, but it does have form and function. So this is important. It bears repeating. Why? Because I think we kind of covered the stuff about the bread of life last week. I mean, it's a pretty big concept that I think most Christians at least know of if they don't understand it. The bread of life, that's eternal salvation, right? It's some kind of miracle metaphor bread. It's connected somehow to the sacraments. Jesus breaks bread a couple of times. He talks about the bread being his flesh. That's probably got something to do with it. It's just a mystery. But here's the thing. I really want us to think about what Jesus is using as a symbol here. I know that the bread of heaven, that's a symbol. But I want you to think about what this symbol literally is. It's bread. Which is kind of anticlimactic. You're probably like, yes, and? But think about that for a minute. Bread is pretty innocuous imagery, isn't it? It's a commonplace item. It's something most people have, or that most people recognize in some way. It's not particularly fancy. What do we consider the barest of subsisting? Bread and water. Bread does not evoke thoughts of feasts and banquets. It usually does not symbolize grandeur. And yet, Jesus uses it to speak of God's abundant outpouring of love. He takes this ordinary symbol of hearth and home, of ordinary, just even bare life, and he makes it the symbol for the kingdom of heaven, for eternal life. And why? That's what all these people who are listening to him are saying. Why? Aren't gods meant for mountaintops and pillars of fire, great booming voices in the sky, giant gilded temples? Gods are made for greatness, not for grime and dirt and harsh reality. They're supposed to reside up in the clouds, not down here with the commoners. It's no wonder that everyone's grumbling at Jesus. Whoever heard of a God who's willing to suffer the pains and problems, the indecencies and embarrassments of humanity? Who is this guy to call himself divine? He's just Mary and Joseph's kid. We all know him. He's just ordinary. He's nothing special. He's the son of a teenage mom and a carpenter. None of this is special. Jesus isn't special in any real way, or at least not in the ways that people thought the Messiah would be. He wasn't a warrior. He wasn't a king. He wasn't a powerful politician. He wasn't a learned scholar. He was a baby. Born homeless in a stable to a teenage mom. He lived as an immigrant, as a colonized man of color under Roman rule. He wasn't educated like the scribes and the Pharisees. He wasn't recognized in the temple as a rabbi. His friends were fishermen and tax collectors. He ate and drank and socialized with sinners and lepers and prostitutes. He died the death of a criminal. And he taught lessons of peace and love and joy and hope and forgiveness and redemption with ordinary symbols of bread and water and wine, the fields, the air, the grass we stand on. That is all he gave us. And that's all I have today in our sacraments, the humble elements of bare life, the humble hearts of all of us here gathered to do our best to remember our Lord. And that's the point. The bread of life was never meant to symbolize privilege and power, the unreachable echelon of the fabulously wealthy. It's meant to be something that all of us know, that all of us experience. It's not a lifestyle, it's a life. It's an ordinary life, filled with ordinary things that God makes extraordinary. Because that's all God ever has to work with. Just everyday creation with its wonders of growth and death and rebirth, the flowers growing through sidewalk cracks and trees planted by absent-minded squirrels, tiny animals of all varieties that remind us of the wonderful diversity of life. All he has is everyday people who work hard and stumble and fall and turn away and then turn back. People with hard jobs and busy families and too much debt and too little time and no great world-changing power. That's it. We're it. We're what God has to change the world. God doesn't come down because he despises the reality of human life, but because he cherishes it. The hard parts, the dirty parts, the messy parts, the boring, ordinary parts, every bit of it. And it's all important. We heard last week in our first reading from Paul that we were all gifted for the mission of God. But none of us is exactly alike. We all have different skills, different talents, different ministries. And when Jesus calls us to follow, it's not about changing that, but harnessing that. He gives us the bread of life, calls us to the kingdom, to make us the best versions of ourselves, our ordinary, regular selves. Because those selves are beautiful and wonderful and perfectly flawed. They're special because they are us. And they have such an important job to do. To live in creation with wonder, to love hard and strong, to walk with hope towards the future. And to live into the miracle of ordinary things. Amen.
how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. That taught my heart to feel, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear.
I would invite you now, as you are able, to join me in the saying of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray to our God as we worship him in spirit and in truth. Heavenly Father, we pray for all who are commissioned and called to work as leaders and prophets in your church. We pray for greater discernment of your presence and your will in our Christian communities, and a clearing away of all that obscures our vision. Open our eyes to see your glory. Heavenly Father, we pray against the cynicism and complacency that deaden wonder. In the ordinary things of life, may we detect your love and wisdom. Through the everyday events, may we encounter you walking alongside us. Open our eyes to see your glory. Heavenly Father, we pray for breadwinners and sandwich makers and all food growers, for your presence in kitchens, dining rooms, canteens, restaurants, and bars, wherever people may gather to eat together. May they find you there with them. Open our eyes to see your glory. Heavenly Father, we pray for those whose emotional damage makes trusting and receiving seem threatening and dangerous. We pray for peace of mind for the anxious and hope for all who are close to despair. Open our eyes to see your glory. Heavenly Father, we pray for those who have reached the boundary of death, that in faith they may journey through it and out into the unconfined space and joy of heaven. Open our eyes to see your glory. Heavenly Father, we rejoice that the ordinary things of this world are saturated with your extraordinary love. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now, gathering our prayers and praises into one, let us pray as our Savior taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always. Let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Caesar.